Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You wanna join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay, the recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
What is going on? This is the mayor right here. It's Tuesday Night Vibe. GQ Palace Radio in the building after further review in your ear. All of that. Jump right into a thing. You got the mayor in the building, man. Kind of like attention is divided, but I'm here, man. My Knicks is doing their thing. Getting back into the series. You know, made it to the second round. Shout out to the Knicks for getting to the second round. We're going to hit the applause button early. Get on your applause button. We're going to hit that early. Can I get the applause button for the Knicks getting to the second round? Please? Please? Hello? Thank you. All right. All right. That's what it is. And can we get the applause button again for the Bulls beating the Heat last night? Can we get the applause button again, please? Thank you very much. All right. All right. All right. Can we get the applause button for San Antonio Spurs coming back on Golden State? They was down by 16 with like 4 minutes to play. They came back to win. Thank you very much. All right. And can we get one more applause button for the Memphis Grizzlies who blew the game against Oklahoma City yesterday? They should have won that game, but oh well. It is what it is. Yeah, we get the applause button popping early, man, with the NBA playoffs, man. Second round right now, the Knicks is doing their thing against the Pacers. They up 47-39, 2 minutes left in the first half. Basically, game one was just a basically Knicks situation. You know, you get hyped up, you get excited, and the Knicks turn into stinker. So that's what they did, Sunday. They got a little hyped up. Indiana got their size, and, Lance Stevenson, he had a good game. You know, that's my dude from Brooklyn. Shout out to Lance Stevenson. But, the Knicks, it's going to be a long series. You know, and I think the Knicks are going to win in six games, you know, and, I just hope that they really show up, man, and really get a couple of games in Indiana. You know what I mean? It's gonna be tough. That pace of crowd is crazy out there, but you know, I think the Knicks need to come back here to New York up 3-1. You know. And that would basically just put them back in command in the series right now, because I just think that anything less than that, then this series is gonna probably go to the limit. And the Knicks want to get, you know, as early a jump on Miami Heat, if they're going to play the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, because the Bulls have the Miami Heat's number. Not saying that the Bulls are going to win that series, but it's going to be a much tougher run than people expected. Last night's win by the Bulls over the Heat in Miami was no fluke. You know, it's just what they needed. You know what I mean? They got that win that they needed. Now they at least they know when they go back home to Chicago, they're going to be even a game, and you know they still have home court advantage. So a lot of people iffy. One day they're up when the Heat are winning, they're going to win the championship. LeBron's the MVP, and then when the Heat lose, it's you don't hear from them, and LeBron is garbage and whatever. So I just feel like, you know, as a fan, and I think one of the topics we want to touch on tonight, and in regards to the other topic I want to get into as far as the referees, is, you know, there's a certain level of fandom, you know what I mean? You could be a fan that likes your team and knows your team's schedule and knows, you know, the history of your team, or you could just like a team because you like a particular player on that team. But then that's where the conversation ends. And all we're saying, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody that's not you know, emotionally attached to the team as you are, then the conversation can only go so far, you know. And I think that's where, you know, certain people say, well, I could be a fan of any team I want. Yeah, you could be a fan of any team you want. But, you know, to pick a particular team that you like and you follow around and, you know, they might have a particular player on their team or whatever. When that team wins, you feel like you're a part of that because you invest the time and rooting for that team and wanting to see that team do good. You know what I'm saying? But so if your team is playing somebody else and they're going to challenge you on, well, my team is better than yours, you better be able to have something to say to defend your team. It's that simple. So, you know, and the thing about it is like, okay, well, I don't know anything about my team. Then why do you like the team? Because they're winning. Then say that. You know what I mean? And a lot of people, you know, they put on this front like they know what's going on, really, and they just kind of like regurgitating stuff that they hear or whatever, you know, and then when you know, kind of like, you know, really go in deep and take them to the deep part of the pool, you know what I mean? It's like, and now they don't want to conversate no more. And I just don't understand that. And I just think that, yeah, there's certain levels of fandom, I guess. You just have to have a conversation flowing with somebody that really knows what they're talking about. You could be talking for hours and time will just pass by and you just touch on all different type of subjects and things of that nature pertaining to sports. But anyway, yeah, man, the Knicks are doing their thing, and Chicago Bulls are definitely doing their thing, and people are questioning Derrick Rose. I just think that, you know, he knows best when it's time for him to come back. The question was posed today, if the Bulls won the championship without Derrick Rose, you know, should they keep him? And I just thought that was kind of like easy question to answer. Yeah, you're going to keep him. Where is he going to go? You know, and it would be like, you know, okay, you're getting a fresh player back. He's going to be 200% ready to go if he doesn't play at all this year. You know what I mean? You'll be defending the championship, and it'll be like you had a draft choice. You know what I mean? You know, just coming back. You know, you're going to stick him right into the starting lineup, and everything is going to go smooth. So actually, you might even consider yourself a little better. You know, but let Derrick Rose do what he has to do. It's him, you know what I mean? And I just feel like, in my opinion, just make the decision one way or the other. So that way you don't have that hanging over your head. When is he coming back? Is he coming back? And is it contingent on how far the Bulls go? If they go deep with the Heat, is he going to come back for game, you know, later on in the series or whatever? Will he be back to the Eastern Conference Finals? Just make up your mind. Say what you want to say and let it rock. You know, but that's none of my concern right now. I'm worried about my New York Knicks. But out in the West, Golden State Warriors, man, they had some growing up to do. They ran into San Antonio Spurs buzzsaw the other night, and San Antonio came back and did it to them. You know, they're a young team, man. Like I was saying, they're a real young team. Mark Jackson, you know, going up against Greg Popovich coaching. And double overtime, you know, so both teams are going to be tired and worried for game two. But that was a classic game, back and forth, and the Spurs finally, Ginobili hit a shot and did what he had to do, and the Spurs won over the Golden State Warriors. And Memphis Grizzlies, the Oklahoma City Thunder series. Memphis was up, and Memphis should have won that game. And I feel like Mike Conley kind of like had a couple of brain farts that kind of gave, you know, a couple of turnovers and you know, shots early in the clock when they really could have, you know, melted the clock down a little bit more, where, you know, letting Oklahoma City get right back into the game. And Durant did his numbers. So, you know, those series are going to be good. I think that, you know, the conference semifinals are going to, you know, all the series are going to go at least five. You know, hopefully that Miami is going to, you know, show up for game two. But Chicago's giving them problems all season long. So, you know, and this is without Derrick Rose. So I just feel like, you know, the owner shouldn't really be worried about Derrick Rose, or the fans shouldn't be worried about Derrick Rose. I just think that they should just, you know, do what they're doing, you know, take Miami as deep as you can take them. And then the Knicks on the other side of that have to, you know, do their numbers against the Indiana Pacers. I got the, you know, like everybody else, I got the Heat coming out of that series. I got the Knicks coming out of that series with Indiana. I got Memphis beating Oklahoma City, and I got Golden State beating the Spurs. All right? I got Joe on the line. Joe, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show, my dude.
Hey, what's happening? How's everything, my brother?
Everything is everything. How are you? All right.
Very good. Enjoying the whole playoff. The series, the playoffs, NBA playoffs have picked up significantly the second round.
Oh, yeah.
And we got some good games now.
Yeah.
NHL is good, too. It's a beautiful thing. I'm loving sports right now.
Okay. What is it? Who you got coming out of the East? And what series do you have in particular that you got your eye on?
I'm a Knicks fan, so I got my eye on the Knicks, and they're driving me crazy, of course. I'm hoping it can get down to a Knicks-Miami final. I think Miami's going to come out of the East. I think they're seriously beatly this year. I'm not too surprised by what happened in the first game. You know, the playoffs, every game is a story in and of itself. So what happened game one don't mean it's going to happen game two.
True.
And you got to give Chicago props. They're just playing beyond their heads right now. But, you know, Miami will get it together, I think, and they're going to be tough.
Okay.
So I'm seeing Miami out the East.
Okay.
Even though I'm a Knicks fan, so you know it's hard to say that.
Yeah, we I'm getting ready to get into that with you for one second. In 1 second, I want to see what's your opinion on what's going on out west.
Oh man, loving what's happening out west. I think that it was critical that Golden State lost the game because as a young squad, they need to get that win. You know, the moral victory is nice, but they needed to get that win and steal that from them.
That would have been.
They're going to be tough to beat at home. You know, when they get up there in the dome, they just get crazy up in their little spot.
They call it
the third dome because they just go bananas in there.
Okay,
but I think what's going to happen, even though they're kind of old, the Spurs are probably going to be able to do it. Man, I think OKC losing Westbrook is very critical. And I think that evens the playing field a little bit because it seemed like the Spurs are getting a little healthier at this time. And, you know, the playoffs becomes a whole different thing. They slow everything down.
That's right.
But they can be had, even though I say that. They can be had.
Yeah, I picked the Warriors to win the series in seven. I thought I was bugging at first, and then I said, you know what?
Uh-huh.
When I first looked at this series, I said, okay, the Spurs are kind of, you know, old and raggedy, but they're veterans. Okay, the Warriors are ready to run up and down the court. Steph Curry's ready to shoot him out the gym. Then I said Popovich is going to out-coach Mark Jackson.
Right.
Then I said, you know what? This series is going to go seven games, and I think the Warriors need to. If they would have stole the first one, I would have felt real, real good about my team.
Man.
If they would have stole that first one, I feel real good about it. But I got the Warriors in seven, and I got the Grizzlies over Oklahoma City in six. Because I like the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are crazy defensively. I like them.
Yeah.
And Zach Randolph is. I wish he was like this when he was playing with the Knicks. I wish Zach Randolph was like this when he was playing with the Knicks. And like you said, I'm in agreement with you that Russell Westbrook. The thing showing up with James Harden is going to be like, okay, they got rid of Harden. If they would have had Harden,
You know
what I mean. So that series is going to be go deep, and I got the Knicks over Indiana, you know, and I wanted to ask you, Amari Stoudemire, are you concerned about really him, you know, coming back and me? How much of a presence do you think he could actually be at this point in the game when we're doing well without him?
I think typically I would be concerned because they don't seem to mesh. For whatever reason. Even though Amari is a team player and he seems to be willing to take the back seat, somehow it just doesn't happen. But I think in this series, they actually need him because they need some beef.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's not the best defensive player in the league, but he's 6'9 legit. They need some big boys to go in there and see what they can do because I'm a little concerned now that the Knicks have fallen off offensively. I mean, you live by the three, so you die by the three. And what they're doing now. I just saw a play a minute ago, you know, Drew grabs a rebound, Melo grabs it, runs up, and just pulls up for three. I'm like, seriously? That's what we're doing?
Right.
And it clanks off the rim, and he's off now, which is, you know, a little...
And then there's nobody there to crash the boards.
Right. So because of this particular series, I think they just need him to come back because they need some bodies to get in there and bang with you guys. Because you know how sports is, man. It's the mental aspect of these things. As long as these guys think they can beat you, they play a lot differently when they don't believe they can beat you.
Right.
You know, you can't let the guys stay close because if they stay close, they're going to win. And one of the things about this playoffs, if you look at it, all the lower seeds, many of the lower seeds, not all of them, but many of the lower seeds did really well.
Right.
You know,
right. It's about it. If you can keep a game close in the last 5 minutes, if you can still be there in the last 5 minutes, you got a chance to win.
You know, Jim Valvano said something in '83 when they were going for the championship at NC State. And Jim Valvano said, he used to tell the team, let's stay close enough to get lucky in the end.
Right. And they got lucky too, didn't they?
Because what happens is cats get tight. Like Golden State literally just gave that game away in 4 minutes. It was 357. They were up 16.
Right.
And literally threw the ball away 3-4 times in a row. Just
no doubt.
Threw it into the other guy's hand. I was like,
hold on for a second, Joe. We got Kia on the line. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening? Just talking a little NBA playoffs right now, watching the Knicks game and all that. So what's good?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yo, she can't be.
Sorry.
Hello?
I just saw it. They up by what? They up by 4? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, my voice is sore, so that's why.
We ain't gonna keep you too long because your voice is sore. What's good?
Nothing. I'm just watching this Knicks. Hope they can do whatever they got to do. Listen to Barkley and them saying that, you know, Barkley don't believe the Knicks are going to go further, nor the Shaq, but only Kenny thinks the Knicks will win. But, you know, it'll be interesting. Melo needs to get his stuff together. This is just it right here for Melo. This is it.
What do you mean? What do you mean by this is it? I mean,
he just got to play. Melo just got to worry about.
I mean,
Melo
I understand
now.
What you're saying. He needs to take over the series, take over,
he
show
does.
Up. I got
it's
you. I understand that. But I mean, what do you think is really like? Is he? You think he's pressing because he's taking his amount of shots. He's taking enough shots.
Because
you know what I'm saying?
He's
so
Melo takes too long to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't get play. I don't know. Melo is squeaky. Their assists, they bad with their assists. Knicks is worse with assists.
That's
with turnovers. It just doesn't make sense that they lost game. I can't even believe they lost game one. I'm sitting here like, did that
but
happen?
I mean, that's the Knicks for you though. That's the Knicks for you.
No question.
You know what I mean? They don't handle prosperity well.
No question.
And I'm a Knicks fan to the hard body Kagati. You know what I'm saying? They don't handle prosperity well. I call it like I see it. I keep it funky 100.
I just think it's more prosperity. I just think they just can't die because you got.
They never do. They could have swept Boston.
Five guys in the paint. Indiana got five guys in the paint. Why Melo shooting? Five guys in the paint.
And missing. So.
How much is this?
Yeah.
It don't make sense that Melo, you know, and then JR, and he hasn't had a good game since that.
JR, to me, I can't wait till the season be over with so we can get rid of JR Smith. JR Smith is to me a fancy
this
pants.
Make no sense.
He got to do some kind of diva move every time he goes to the basket,
no
yo. I could do without
this
that.
Miss
me with that.
Yeah,
and
then
you know what I'm saying? Because, and like, when he do the elbow with Jason Terry at the end of game 3, and then he gonna have the audacity to say that if he would have played game 4, the Knicks would have won. What is that?
Yeah.
I don't need that on my team.
I think that was more when I guess Martin said for the team to wear black. Boston didn't know they was wearing black. They should have been
wearing
black.
But that's neither here nor there. Because see what happened when they got, like J.R. Smith said, they came for a funeral, but they got buried. So they got a team to handle, and that goes back to my point. They don't handle prosperity well at all.
I agree with that. I think whenever the Knicks get up, they get a little cocky.
Yep.
And they get a little beside themselves.
Yep.
And I think that's what happened. They had
start to start wearing black and all this craziness.
And they lost a little perspective.
Get out the first round.
But you know what? This is about what it takes to be a winner. And winners do certain things. And these guys are more interested in showboating than winning. You got to get that focus back in winning.
That's one
of the things is if the Knicks are going to win, your big guns have to play well. Melo can't shoot the way he's shooting. J.R.
Tyson Chandler got to step up.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what the whole situation with the Knicks in the end game? Knicks need people to step up. Pacers don't need nobody to step up. That's bad. Knicks need Melo and Taylor to play well, and the Pacers don't need nobody to play well. Long they all play.
You need them to do their job and do their job well. Like,
yeah,
you're
be
a scorer,
consistent.
So we need
right.
you to score. So
that's
what we
right.
can't have, though, we can't have a crazy shooting percentage. If you give me 30 points, that's great, but you can't be 6 of 35.
We can't have you having two fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Exactly.
We can't do that.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that. And the fact that Indiana's down and they shoot 49% while they're down, that's not good for the Knicks.
But Indiana did what they needed to do. They got a game.
They shoot at 49% and they down by four. That's like
they
what?
Good money. They right where they want to be. Indiana's right where they want to be at. And instead of the Knicks stomping a mud hole in them, but they can't do that against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they don't have the inside presence to compete with them.
Exactly.
But if Amari showed up, he could give us a few minutes and a little presence in the middle.
And I think this, too. All good players make adjustments.
Yeah.
So the jumper's not happening, Melo. It hasn't been happening for the last three or four games. So don't keep shooting three. Take two, three steps in. Drive to the basket. Do something else
right.
to get your game going.
Get your confidence back.
Just pulling up threes.
And that's the same thing with that Golden State game last night.
Uh-huh.
And the same way with Curry, you know, come on. Spurs ain't no veteran. Spurs ain't just not no rookie. They let Curry do what he wanted to do, and what happened? Double overtime. He run out of gas first when the game dropped. Down by 15 with 4:30 left on the clock.
That's Mark Jackson's fault for keeping them in the game when they was up by 16 with 4 minutes left.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It doesn't make no sense how he coached that game down by
16.
That's
exactly right. That goes back to the point that Popovich is going to out-coach Mark Jackson from the
game. Yeah, exactly. There you go. There you go.
Mark is a young coach.
15 points, 4:30 left on the clock.
Right.
And Golden State still couldn't finish up the Spurs.
And like Joe said, they turned the screws up.
And Curry made a hero ball mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He had that guy for overtime for the first, at the end of the regulation, he
right.
had a teammate wide open on the wing for three. And he didn't give it to him and then threw up a shot. I'm like, dude, you know you're not going to make that shot. Just throwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since you were off. And that's when the young player got to learn that.
That goes to your IQ, your basketball IQ. I tried to tell him.
Curry got fooled by the Spurs last night about you can shoot 42 points, do what you have to do, take all these shots, and you run out of gas the last two quarters, and you sitting here out of breath, and you can't keep up with the Spurs, and y'all were up by 15 points at 4:30 mark, and look what happened.
But let's keep this in mind. They lost because the point guard at the end of the game didn't have control of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
They started throwing the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
They made four or five really silly plays.
Mm-hmm.
Curry had actually smacked them and put them in a very good position. They were 16
yep.
under 4 minutes left in the game. You don't lose. In high school, you don't lose that, let alone in
That's
the
right.
pro.
That's right.
You don't lose up 16 with 4 minutes under 4 minutes left.
And then they lost that game because a great coach coached that game back to 15 points.
And as simple as that, he just left them in too long, and like you said, he wore them out.
The Spurs wore him out.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly did not have two shots in the halftime, and nothing else was all brick. Spurs knew what they were doing. That's the same thing I said about Memphis. They're not worried about KD. They can let Durant shoot all they want to shoot. They're going to give him a shot. They're not worried about KD. But they
going to
stop anybody
what
else.
Was up, what, hey, what was up with Kendrick Perkins, Mr. Fumble-itis?
Oh,
I can't
stand him. Oh, he's
just
here.
No. Was I bugging
there's
or was,
no
was he
way.
Like every
there's
time
no
he touched the ball, it was a turnover? Like,
and,
what's
and
the matter
with
him? Nervous?
Same thing with Ibaka. The both of them can't handle that. Zach's going to have a good game tonight.
And I'm telling you, I picked Memphis to win this series because I like Marc Gasol. I like Zach Randolph. Conley uses his head the other day.
Allen,
they would win that game.
Yeah.
They would win that game.
Right.
So, Shakia, what's your perspective on the Heat and the Bulls? I got to hear this.
Let me tell you something. I take the Bulls to win this game in five. I said five. I said maybe they're
You picked
six,
the Bulls to beat the Heat in five?
I'm picking the Bulls.
Can we applaud that? Kia going out on the limb.
Okay,
he went
I'll
out on the limb,
now.
Yo. You gotta get some applause for that. You gotta applaud that, yo.
LeBron coming here, and you know what? They got all the stars. They got everything. But the thing with this is that the Bulls are well coached, and they are well coached.
And they know
and
how to beat the Heat. They know how to beat them.
Well coached, and he's coming from a championship when he was assisted behind Doc Rivers, so he knows how to play
yes,
on the rim. So he's going to take
true.
His guys, and they play even without Zing, and he's still injured. Nate Stillberry though with 27 points. Did you see how Ray Allen just ran right past Ray Allen.
Above his head, and that's why they're winning. Nate is on next level as a point guard, and he's doing his best imitation of Rose, and it's helping them continue the battle because they decimated as a team. You know?
Oh yeah.
And the only thing I like about this is LeBron can't handle physical talent. He don't like to be pushing it, and they're gonna score him in this game. And that's the thing I like about this about the Bulls. They ain't letting LeBron get nothing easy. They gonna
move him in there. Playing him physical will slow him down. He'll still get his, but their problem is everyone else has to step up to that physical play.
Yeah,
because Bosh disappeared on the physical contact. Bosh disappeared. That can't happen.
And it's noticeable, too, man. It's very noticeable that they disappear and they shy away from that. So they keep going to that. And Joe Kim Noah is no joke because he's going to bring the full body, you know what I mean?
No
question.
And you know what I say the difference, not to compare the difference that I say between Kobe and LeBron? Kobe ain't missed no shot like that. And Kobe's not going to be down by five and then walk away with a five-point lead and not win that game. LeBron just going to throw it up there and thought it was going to win. It's like, you know, They had a week and a couple of days off. Chicago just left beating Brooklyn, left New Jersey that Sunday that night, got into Miami Sunday, rested and played Monday and beat Miami on Monday.
And beat Miami.
They said something interesting. They said that statistically LeBron played this game like he's played all year. In terms of his shooting percentage, his scoring average, everything is where he was. And he played well, but the rest of the team literally disappeared around him. And if they don't disappear, they got to give him a little something. Because keep in mind, even with this game, as bad as they were playing, with 2 minutes left in the game, they were up four at home. You're supposed to win that game.
Yep. So they got shook because they were in the game. They had a chance to win the game, and like Joe said, they were basically supposed to win that game. You're up two at home. Everything is in your corner. You know what I mean?
And
you have advantage, and you turn around and lose by seven.
When they were down by four. They were going to call that timeout, and what happened at that timeout? The Bulls got regrouped, took over the second of the lead. They started stopping the Heat. Once that timeout came, he did what he had to say. It's amazing how he just came from a seventh game, got his guys ready for Monday night game.
Because again, the whole thing to that, and so he's telling them, it's like you can't, you know, they're saying you can't beat these guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
they're the champions. They, you know, they're supposed to sweep through the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
Tom Thibodeau,
it's easy for him to rally.
Because
that's
fair.
And not only just play with house money, but they always play well against them.
They know
that they play them well. Exactly. So. They're the one team that's not scared of them.
Right.
You're not supposed to go in there being scared. Yeah. Shaq said, for the game, they asked Shaq several things. Shaq said, Pete's going to beat by 15. Barkley said about 12. Only Kenny said, he didn't say what they was going to lose by, but, you know, when Shaq said 15 and Barkley said 12, I'm like, please. He's going to lose this game. And sure enough, Pete lost that game. And then Barkley and them, they couldn't even, like, you know, make no assessment as to how the Heat lost that game. Yeah, the Heat lost that game.
Here's the question. Can the Bulls maintain this level of play? Like, they're doing everything they're supposed to do. Nate is hitting shots, big shots. Can he continue to do that throughout the series? or does he come back to earth a little bit?
Will Miami
continue to be off once they get a little of this rust off them? Because, you know, you got to keep in mind, people don't want to say that being off week had anything to do with it. But since September, them guys were playing 3 to 4 times a week, and then I got 7 games off. So that throws you off just a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen when they start, when everybody starts to come back to normal on this? Or does Nate maintain it? Does Nate keep going? Because that's a problem if he continues to play this way. He's literally playing above his head.
I think it's not going to go, you know, status quo. I don't think that, you know, LeBron 8 for 17, Dwayne Wade 7 for 16, Chris Bosh 3 for 10. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think those numbers are going to definitely step up. And again, like you said, you know, it's up to the Bulls, where, you know, like I said, they're playing with house money. They win, they're up 2-0. They lose, they go home even at worst. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if everybody plays, you know, to that same level, then, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they can pull it off and be up 2-0 and shock the world for real, for real.
That would be crazy. The Bulls going to do something, because the Bulls is on this little thing about, you know, they've been injured.
Right.
Noah is playing badly bruised on that foot.
A lot of people are saying, Miami's going to come back and blow them out. I think even if the Bulls lose game two, if it's like overtime, or if it goes down mm-hmm. to the last mm-hmm. 10 seconds, mm-hmm. it's going to be in Miami's head. We can't shake these dudes.
They the same way. Not saying that he's the same. They did the same way when they played Brooklyn. They lost that game, but they never lost their composure. They came mm-hmm. back, did what they had to do. But you best believe they go to Chicago, they Bulls taking that two at home.
You think they're going to take the two in Chicago?
Bulls going to take the two at home.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The Bulls took 7 to beat the Nets, and the Nets are pretty disappointing, like unbelievably disappointing this year.
Right.
So that's why my question is, will Miami, because if Miami plays anything like they should play, you know, the Bulls may have a little problem on their hands. They went 7 to beat Miami. Remember, they decimated. That's
mm-hmm.
the problem, too.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about they're not worried about giving LeBron his shot. They're definitely going to control Bosh. Bosh is not going to do what he needs to do, because he's not going to be able to come
mm-hmm.
in. One thing about Noah ain't going to let nobody up in the middle. He's a bruiser. They're going to hard foul you. Miami cannot handle hard foul.
So if you eliminate Bosh,
eliminate Bosh and then keep Wade on that.
And then rebound.
Wade is injured too. Wade can't stay on that foot that long.
And that's
exactly what's going to happen. Then it's going to be up to LeBron. How many shots LeBron going to have to take when he get pounded and keep pounding him? He got to go to the bench. And then they ran right into the
pool
pen. And it's just a
thing.
And it's Joe Johnson. $123 million over 6 years, 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. There's no way, no way.
I want to shift gears for a hot second. Did you hear about that proposed trade that they're supposed to send Garnett Pierce to the Clippers?
That would never happen.
I think it was DeAndre Jordan. And they was going to trade Doc. They were supposed to trade Doc Rivers. They're going to trade Doc Rivers.
That would never happen. That's ridiculous. I saw that. That's ridiculous.
They're going to trade Doc Rivers from the.
If I'm Boston, I do that. I don't know if I'm the Clippers, I do, but if I'm Boston, I do that.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is with that game is, and I knew they were going to lose that game. There's no way Blake could not handle that. He could not handle Zach. And what they not worried about Chris Paul getting a shot. They weren't worried about Chris Paul. They were taking Blake and DeAndre at their game, and look what happened to the Clippers. They melted. They wasn't worried about Paul. Paul got thirty something the other night. They wasn't worried about Chris Paul. They didn't care Chris Paul getting his shot. That's why they're gonna do the same thing to OKC. They're gonna let Kevin Durant get his shot. But
where was Jamal Crawford and those guys? Where were those guys at?
I think
you have a bunch of good teams in the NBA, and once it gets to that time with the playoff time and You know, that heat got to turn up on them, and the screws got to turn up, and the lights get brighter.
Yeah.
You know, some people shy away. They're not ready for that, regardless of how much commercials they make and how much props they get or whatever.
They're
never going to be there in June. They're not going to
be
there.
They'll
win 50 games during the season, but they'll go out in the first round. They'll go out in the second round.
This is why I tell cats that Michael Jordan was the best cat in the league, and they need to cut that out. Because when lights came on in Michael Jordan, when his era, he played well. His scoring average, with the exception, he went to 6 championships. His scoring average went up each time except for one series, one championship series. But his scoring average, he was only averaging 30, so he would then increase his play. And I think a lot of these guys, everybody can't stand that light. That light is bright.
Yeah.
Focus on you.
Yeah.
And some people become average.
Everybody from, you know, back in the day, and it's supposed to have been the next Jordan from, you know, Harold Miner, you know, Penny Hardaway, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
They just put all this emphasis on them being the next this.
The
How
next
they couldn't be the
yep.
first, whoever the hell they
and,
are? You know what I mean?
And none of them lived up to it. LeBron couldn't even live up to that light until last year. That light was so bright, he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, yeah, man. You know, but I think LeBron, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's scripted out for him to be this way, you know what I mean? But I guess that, you know, you got to, you know, crawl before you walk. You know what I mean? You know, he had to, you know, I don't want
to
say the silver spoon or whatever, but the situation was laid out for him. He did what he got to do.
You got to learn how to win.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he went to the finals that one year with the Spurs. They got swept or whatever. That was an experience for you. You know what I mean? You used your option, which is your prerogative, and you, as a free agent, you left Cleveland and you went to Miami, which is your prerogative. But it's not what you're doing on the court, LeBron. That ain't the case. It's what you do off the court. You don't be rubbing it in people's face. Oh well, I lost the finals, but you go back to your regular job, flipping hamburgers or whatever. You know, you don't endear yourself to people by making comments like that. Regardless, you can score 50 points a game. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody really, you know, it's not about not liking LeBron. You got to respect his game and all that other stuff.
You
can do without.
You like him. You respect his game.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes, sir, no doubt.
I thought, you know, Chris Paul was frustrated through this whole series because, you know, it felt like he was the only guy playing for the Clippers. And I guess that little push and a little thing into Gasol and then a technical and getting thrown out the game, you saw the frustration on Chris Paul. He was just frustrated, tired, 30-something points. He had enough. And the interesting thing about this is
they were getting beat. And Memphis was putting that barbecue on him. That's what it was. Put that Beale Street on him. And Chris Paul was getting mad.
I'm not looking for Chris Paul to be back with the Clippers.
I know. I wouldn't be surprised either.
He's done. He's done.
Where do you think Chris Paul gonna end up at?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Think he'll end up with the Lakers?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I was talking to somebody today about that. I said he'll end up with the Lakers and rubbing in David Stern's face because David Stern is leaving in February.
Because he couldn't block it anyway.
What are you going to do?
But now he's a free agent. Before
now what
so
you going to do, David Stern?
Now he can't block nothing.
If I'm Chris Paul, I'm not going anywhere that Dwight Howard is.
Okay. All right.
He needs to win. And he's getting, and I think this is what might make these guys feel pressure too. They're getting, you know, they're getting a little long in the tooth. You don't have the
yeah.
many years to win.
That's
so
right.
You got to get the right mix and get it in, get your ring. I don't think Dwight is that dude. I wouldn't want to play with him. He's shown himself these last 2 years to be a witch with a beard. All right, that's what he showed himself to be. I'm very unimpressed with who this guy is from a leadership standpoint.
If the Lakers could get, what's his name, from Atlanta, I would love him on my Lakers.
Who?
Jay Smoove. I would love Josh Smith up on the Lakers.
Josh Smith?
They might give you him and a ham sandwich. They might do that.
He's a free agent. He could literally ask him to nobody.
What the
hell? He's a free agent. I think he would play well with somebody else. I think he would not play well with Atlanta. But he's a free agent, so he doesn't go where he want to go. So Atlanta's trying to find him the $80 million, but he don't want the $80 million. So he may walk. So
I just think that the whole situation with Dwight Howard was kind of like it's a whole waste of time. It's an embarrassment, man. It's a travesty,
you know,
all of that.
I
you know,
that
Orlando looked like
deal.
They was right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't get that deal when it came. I was not a happy camper when you know I mean the rumors was surfing that buying them. I said no way making the trade buying them. No way buying them a go. No, I'm not worried about that. You know, so I suffered. Now I ain't worried about it. It's all just rumors. And then they wake up the next day, you see buying them gone. I was not a happy person. I'm like, what the hell?
So who do you think is going to be playing? Do you think Andrew Bynum is going to be playing next year? And where do you think he's going to be
at? I don't know where he's going to be at, but he'll play next year.
I think Bynum is through, man.
No,
Bynum
is playing next year.
If you think about Bynum's career with the Lakers, he only played one year.
Yeah.
Bynum's not through. Bynum will be back.
He has two arthritic knees. So what I'm saying is he may get on the team, but that guy is not going to be able to do what you need him to do.
Right, he's not going to justify that. He's not going to justify that contract at all.
Well, when he when he went back to back with those knees and played well in the series in 9 and 10. So to come off that injury,
you talking about Andrew Bynum here?
Bynum did that in that series in 08.
But it ended up getting him traded. It ended up getting him sent out of town.
But he played well in the 9 and 10. In 2009
and
10,
you're right. And you're right. But what did that have to do with that? But look what that ended him up, though. Look where he ended up.
We lost that series in 08 in Boston. We lost that series. And Kobe, of course, you know, you saw this. I couldn't believe we lost that game anyway. But, you know, and I knew we was going to go back. One thing about Cole is this is a trademark. Okay? If he go one time, he's going back again. So the next year and now we played Howard. And they played Howard well. And then we
just
go.
You got to keep in mind now. That's a long time. He missed a whole year.
Hold on one second. That bicentennial moment was brought to you by Kia. All right, but that Lakers bicentennial moment was
Boston. And I think Bynum will come back. If they were to say, "Well, we're trying to get Bynum back," Bynum is a free agent. If I would put Bynum back,
he's not
going to
be effective at all. I would. If I'm silly, I'd run away from him. I wouldn't give him a dime.
How far he was affected on that league and
he has a bad attitude. He had Kobe there to keep him in check from a winning perspective. Bynum quit on them a couple of times before they traded him. He just quit a couple of games. Like, I'm just at a three. I'm not going to run down court. I don't care.
Right.
He has a bad attitude. And it was going to show in Philly, but they don't because he's now the leader.
Bynum's attitude wasn't as worse as Odom. Odom would always be as that guy that Lakers fans, as me, a dollar fan as me, would never respect no more in the game.
And that's why Odom won't win the championship either unless he's with the right situation.
You come up a 6-man-year war. You do some reality show. You do all this other stuff and come back for the 2011 weakest West Spot of Death, Dallas Mavericks. I would never have respect for Odom. Never.
Yeah.
He is through in my book. I would never respect Odom for that.
Right.
That 2011 season, we just come up a championship run. We just won a championship. And get swept by the Mavericks. And Odom, just come from the 6th Man Award in 2010 and 11. He played like crap, got married to the Kardashians, and then all of a sudden he don't know how to play basketball.
But that says something about his decision making anyway, right here.
I didn't ever like to deal when we traded Ariza for our test. I mean, it was. You know, Ariza got his in 09, Artest got his in 10. We went back to back, so a lot of stuff I don't like to call. But it is with that
Paul.
Yeah, he got his ring.
Yeah, but I think that Chris Paul and just kind of like wanted to win. It didn't work out, so now he's gonna I guess take his talents elsewhere or whatever. But
The question is where to go.
They were talking about Blake Griffin mm-hmm. going to the Celtics. Rondo throwing him out.
No way.
Hey.
No way. He would. No way. He don't even fit that Celtics system.
If they did that trade two years ago, it would be an interesting trade.
It would be a new system because Doc Rivers wouldn't be there.
No way.
Once you get out of that trade, if you get Doc Rivers, that's your coach for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And he'll put together something decent. But KD is going to be gone after a year, and Paul Pierce is gone right after him. So.
Paul Pierce is done after 14. He's done.
He's done after. That's why I don't really see the Clippers doing that.
Garnett is gone. Garnett got two more years, so 15. If Garnett will last the 15, he's done. He only got two more years. 14 and 15, right. So you figure he's done after 15. Mm-hmm. Rondo, they rebuild around Rondo. I mean, I think he's one of the best. I wouldn't mind having Rondo. It's like trading Dwight for Rondo. I'm like, yeah. I'm all for that.
Dwight, you could get, like my man said, you can get Dwight for a ham sandwich right now.
Howard
is damn as good.
I'll
he's a bum. Dwight Howard is garbaggio.
Don't want him.
That's my Italian. I got that off the Sopranos. He's so garbaggio. But,
Somebody got hit. Did you see that?
Yeah, man, but,
Did you see that? Who got hit by somebody? Did a Blue Jay? Somebody got hit by a pitch in the head.
Nah, I'm at work.
Yeah, somebody, a Blue Jay, I don't know, somebody just got hit, beamed in the head by a ball.
Yeah, but, Back to the playoff situation. And the Knicks are down 64-62, third quarter, 3:05 to play.
Right, 2 points.
Again, we got to get this game, man. The Pacers are hanging around. It goes back to the philosophy that we were talking about earlier. You hang around, mm-hmm. anything can happen.
Well, they get the turnovers. They got to get the turnovers. Pacers just turned the ball over.
We need a lead. We need to let them know that we're going to take this game. Carmelo drive it to the hoop, bang. 64-64.
There you go.
Carmelo just needs. That's exactly what he needs to do.
That's right.
Exactly
what he
said.
Earlier,
he got to stop just taking jumps. And that's
bothering
him. He don't
want to
wear the
black. There you go. Kenyon Martin is playing. I like how Kenyon Martin is being active.
Yeah.
I like that. You know.
Yeah.
He's being active. I saw what he threw. When he threw Kevin Garnett to the floor, Kevin Garnett didn't want to see him.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett ain't pop up off the floor and talk about, Carmelo with the flush.
Last two times he went to the basket.
He went to like a grown man.
Look at Patrick Ewing. He's at the game. Did you like Winston coaching game one when he didn't have Kenyon out there for some period of time in the game?
What'd you say now?
I said, did you like Winston, how he coached the Knicks?
I think game one was kind of like a situation where the referees had an off day. I'm not saying it was calling bad calls on the Knicks or whatever. They had an off day and it influenced the game. And that was going to be the topic. That was going to be the topic that we're going to get into in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to get into that. I think that the referees really, you know, that game won. No excuses because they did it on both sides. He made bad calls for the Knicks. He made bad calls for the Pacers. But I just think that they have too much influence into the game. All they're supposed to be is they're supposed to be the arbiters of the game. Why are we talking about what the referees did or did not do?
Exactly.
If that's the case, then you go back to the Memphis Clippers game. How some of the calls was going. Zach had five fouls in the first two games. Five fouls. He was a foul for the first game, second game. But I'm saying all sports.
I'm just saying in general, the referees and the umpires, they ingest themselves into the game and think it's about them.
And they're supposed to be invisible.
And they're supposed to be invisible. Exactly. They're supposed to be invisible.
So you go with that. You go with Holly and the umpire that game against Zion Winner. When he told him, he cursed and told him, throw the football over the pitch.
The umpire was wrong.
And David Price is not that kind of pitcher that goes at the guy, so I believe him.
Look at this situation right here. I understand it's Bryce Harper. I understand, you know, he don't get no love because he's a youngster in the game. Okay,
if he
doesn't like a call, he backs away from the plate. That's the situation between him and the home plate umpire, right?
Right.
He backs away. Right. He walks away from the batter's box. He takes his helmet off. He slams his helmet. He slams his bat. The home plate umpire didn't say nothing.
Anything, exactly.
The first base umpire threw him out the game. What is that?
Yeah. Exactly.
And Kia, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about now. What I'm saying, how the umpire said, you know, you want them to think it's so. Look at the dude from last year that messed up a perfect game for Galarraga for Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, he messed it up.
But you know how Galarraga. I was surprised at how he played it. Ooh, it's alley oop to Kenyon Martin. Next up, 69-64. I was surprised, and I was kind of surprised, and I was proud of how Galarraga played that. He was like, everybody makes a mistake. You know what I mean? I would have been. He's better than me. That's all I can say. But again, we're talking about how the umpires and the referees make it all about them.
And the same thing I said about that Super Bowl game with that blown call.
Which blown call? The one with Ben Roethlisberger didn't get the touchdown against Seattle?
No, I'm not. Because he didn't get the touchdown away, we still win the game.
Which one are you talking about?
The one just now. I'm talking about the Ravens and 49ers game. It was two. You know, the calls in the end zone.
At the end of the game,
calls.
Yeah.
And then they don't call it. Same way with the corner. Let me tell you something. Not because he's playing for your team, but Revis does not get the calls when he holds it. And Revis holds.
It's kind of objective, but if we're watching the game, you're watching the game at home, Joe's watching the game at home, I'm watching the game at home, and we can see what happened, and the referee is 2 feet away, and he can't tell me what he got to do. Right. Replay? What is that?
But my thing is, I'm gonna get into that, Kia.
I'm gonna talk about it, and I'm gonna tell you why it's getting ready to happen, and they don't want it to happen. Go ahead.
No, and the thing I'm saying is the same thing with the bad calls.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know they're known for Pittsburgh getting a hit. Especially they give us a penalty with the safeties getting a hit or our corners getting a hit. But when they give us a fine and a penalty in the game, and you look at on the tape, and you got I can't think of his name, but he's over the P. He looks at the tape and says, "No, it wasn't a helmet to helmet." But yet we got penalized in the game. The touchdown.
Well, as a Steelers fan, you shouldn't really have no beef because we could go back to 79 AFC Championship game. They still jerked the Houston Oilers. Mike Renfro was in bounds. I don't care what nobody says.
No question.
I don't care what nobody say. They had no instant replay. If they had an instant replay, the Steelers would have went to that Super Bowl.
That's why they started to have it. Exactly. That's one of the plays that made them have it.
Go ahead.
That's one of the plays that made them put that in.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what the hell? I always mess with Kia about the Steelers.
I don't think that made the Steelers get a history play because of that. It did. That was one of the plays.
But you know what, though? My point being, though, Joe and Kia, is that with the referees and the umpires, they don't want replay because you know why? It's going to nudge them out of a job.
And
they always say, well, the umpires and the referees, whatever, they add the human element. They make mistakes sometimes. Nobody want to hear that.
That's right.
Nobody wants to hear that. The referees and the umpires are never supposed to make a mistake. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
If you're the judge and the arbiter of the game, and you say go, then how can you be wrong?
Right. I think we don't want you making mistakes,
especially for clear situations.
Right, especially if it's clear. Right.
I think it's good when they pull that TV or when they can let a guy know whether he's got a 3-point, whether it's a 2-point. So I think if you're thinking, well, you don't know if his foot was on the line, I think they should go back and see if his foot was on the line, they should get a 3-point. If his foot was on the line, then you wanted him a 2-point. I like when they go back and see. A Melo shoots something, and they'll say, oh, we don't know if it was a 2-point or a 3-point. You just go look at that TV to make sure he's getting the extra point he needs or take away
And then another question is, with all these different camera angles that they be having in the game, how come every time when it's a crucial call, they don't have the right camera angle on it?
That gets me, too.
They have 1,000 HD cameras and all this from the ceiling to the floor, inside the grass,
exactly.
inside the helmet. And then, and when it comes to a crucial call, oh, we can't get the right angle on that one.
Yeah.
And I can't tell. From the, what the
they got a camera on a pigeon. Like, and when we need the angle that they're still just,
if
they
we need
have
that
it.
Angle for that particular play, they don't have the angle. I don't understand. We got to write a letter or something. I don't understand that.
Penalties and everything. So they're trying to hand out some penalties, and they hand. I think they hand out a lot of you know, like they said with the this year in the playoff with the flopping. Derek Christian the first flopping $5,000.
$10,000, $15,000
So you know, this is about these guys were falling down or acting like they got hit or acting like they about to fall, which is ridiculous. When you see it on the next time on replay, you're like, are you kidding me, Fisher?
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know,
some of the floppers, the obvious floppers.
The obvious ones, the ones who got a separate bank account for just for flopping. Yeah, there you go.
Just for flopping, right.
Strictly for flopping, you know. But, I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, umpires and referees and stuff like that, they make themselves a part of the game. And, you know, with that, you know, instant replay, you know, if that becomes part of the game, like, in, you know, for example, in baseball and football, instant replay is part of the game. If you instant replay, what do I need you for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, the culture of each sport is different because the umpires are far more aggressive than every other official. I mean, the umpires pick fights.
In baseball?
In baseball, yeah.
Definitely.
Is your man Joey Crawford is like that. He's like a baseball umpire. He just picks fights, throw people out, say things, and get rid of you. Like, wow.
Hirschbeck was the one that, if you remember, when Roberto Alomar spit in his face.
Yes.
That was that ain't funny. It's not funny. Yo.
That was real. That was like
crazy.
You remember that? Hey, kid, you remember that?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that one?
No, that was big.
When Price got when he ejected Price, because Holly had ejected Price and off the bench because he was still talking. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But some of these umpires, they've blown a lot of calls, and they don't. And, you know, he was pissing about his. He wasn't getting a strike, and you know, Holly and told him to whatever, so that whatever over the plate. I'm like, don't need to say that.
But I mean, you know, even with that, you know, I think that. You know, it's a certain respect. If you're umpire that know that your tempo, your fuse is real low or real short, then you shouldn't even be having balls or strikes.
You shouldn't be an umpire, right.
You shouldn't be an umpire. You should be the alternate dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The one to keep the score at the game or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because again, like I was having a deep discussion with a cat about this particular subject, and I'm like, yo, it's gonna get to a situation where one of these umpires or one of these referees, something bad is going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to make some bad call, and it's going to be so obvious. You know? Because they get scrutinized for a day, two or three or four days or whatever, then it's over with.
I think they should just fine them. I think I never saw an umpire until I saw Howie and get fined. He got fined for his incident. But I never saw an umpire or referee in the NFL get fined for, like, you know,
You know how they get those the NFL referees though.
Right.
They grade them during the season.
Exactly.
And the ones who get the playoff assignment.
Yeah.
So if you don't get a playoff assignment,
that,
then that means you suck as a referee.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that way. But I'm talking about monetary because Holly ain't had monetary. I'm talking about monetary money because Holly ain't got fined. I don't know if it was $15,000, you know, whatever. He got fined for his comment to David Price because he comes at David Price in when he was talking on the radio or whatever he was doing. But he got fined. But I was wondering about the referees that blow calls or whatever. But yeah, you're right. They do get...
They get graded. So, I mean, we might not see it, but... You know, and then, you know, they get that reputation, you know what I'm saying?
And then they don't get the assignment.
And they
don't
get that
assignment.
They don't get that assignment. Like
they get paid per game.
Yeah, they get paid, they get paid per game.
What's the guy that, the ball head guy that coached the Knicks game right here? You know, he's been around a long time. You know what I'm talking about, the one that coached the Knicks game, right? I mean, referee in the Knicks game. The ball head guy, he's one of the, I guess, a senior referee.
Which one?
You know what I'm talking about, Chris? The one the bald head guy. The coach in the Knicks.
There's two bald head guys out there.
No, the one that's older. The one that's been around, I guess, a long time. He must have been around a long time.
The white guy?
Yeah.
Joey Crawford.
Yeah.
With the argument with, you know, I guess, with Melo, and then, you know, they complained about, I don't know, like you said, maybe they might have, I don't know if they looked at tape, the referee look at the tape the next day and look at game calls that they blew, you know.
They definitely do.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So now it's like, you see it's like even, they're giving us, you know, because this now is like, well, we're playing even right here.
Yeah.
They have to go back and look at those calls that they blow. They blow,
yeah,
they, you
yeah,
know,
no, they do.
But it's no,
and
no,
that's
way
why the
to...
series changed, because then they go back and they make adjustments. They realize
we
refereed this game too loose. The next game they call it a little tighter, and the teams are forced to adjust.
That's right. That's right.
Because that's how they did.
They
like, Indiana's a physical team, so they want the referees
call that,
to ref across the game,
that
the game loose.
That's how they call that Memphis and that Memphis and that Clippers game. That was a tough one.
Right. They let them just play they football out there.
They were fine. They were hitting people with technicals. They shoot back red on that like 5,000 all the series except one game.
Well,
no, he got
I
hit.
Mean, in game one, you know, the Pacers went to shot 26 free throws,
yes,
and the Knicks shot
no
23.
Sense.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, the discrepancy's not that bad as far as, you know, going to free throw line, but the calls that were made was some like, whoa.
Right.
What is that?
It's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
They know the finesse team, and they're letting it be physical. That's going to hurt the finesse team. Even though the calls may net out, a finesse team can't play under those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
A physical team don't want the game called real light, you know, real light, like every time they touch somebody, it does affect the game, and it affects
when,
the game and the outcome of the game.
Right,
but
now I can't give a bump, now I can't, you know, I have to really watch myself, because if I'm going to stay in the game with two fouls early, now I can't even play D the way I usually play. That's right.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me say this one thing. What about Mark Jackson's comment about his star about the trip, and somebody told Mark Jackson, you act like you ain't played for the Pacers or the Knicks back in the day when y'all was set up to go out
or
there
the
and
Big East conference,
right?
Or the
Big
East,
and you're trying to tell me that just because
that's why he knew what it was,
right? So he didn't have nothing to say. So people were pissed about he saying, you know, it was all on Jackson about this, and he's saying
that's the picture, man, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's the preacher man. You gotta watch. You know how he moves.
It
you know what I'm saying?
No sense when he said that comment. Jackson Lewis said that comment. That didn't make no sense.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: what do you think of this? What if some? And I heard this is not my idea. I heard someone say this. They said that they felt that in the NBA, you shouldn't be able to foul out at all.
Oh, no.
They said if you get over six fouls, you penalize. Kind of like putting them in the penalty to every time it's two shots or whatever. But that way you don't lose superstars in a game. You actually never foul out the game.
No.
How often
that's
do superstars foul out?
Foul out anyway, right.
You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, I mean, if you getting constantly, and you're not a superstar, if you constantly fouling out the game. You know what I mean? You got people that just come in the game, that's just six free fouls. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to put him in the game, and that's all he do. You know what I mean? But, I think six is a good number. I think six is a perfect number.
Six is a good number. I think so, too.
Yeah,
you fouled
in game one. Taylor fouled in game one, right?
Tyson Taylor. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he fouled in game one. Taylor fouled in game one. So, you fouled in game one. I mean, you know, it depends on how you have the five fouls.
Because we lost Clay Thompson. Think about that. Golden State lost Klay Thompson, man. He shoots.
And
they
don't
have
David
Lee.
That didn't have nothing to do. I don't think they had nothing.
They don't got David Lee either.
No, I
think that was critical because Klay Thompson shoots like Curry. He's one of them kind of dudes. He's a poor man's version of Curry.
Yep.
So they lost a significant shooter. And he fouled out early. He was sitting on that bench. He was gone early in the game.
And I think Hollis had a good with I don't know, certain thoughts out of control, the five. Like, and I give it to Zach and Gasol. When he got both his big men with five fouls, and he's trying to figure out not to keep them out so long, he timed it every time when to put them back in and when to put which one back in. And
that's when the coaching strategy and everything comes in.
You talking about the Grizzlies coach, Lionel Hollins?
Yeah,
Lionel Hollins know what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Lionel Hollins learned from
Dr.
Jack Ramsey. Stop playing.
There you go.
That's right.
He's definitely
coaching
up.
Trailblazers, baby.
Then he had a little run with the Sixers, too, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember Lefty?
Bobby Jones and Andrew Toney and Bo Cheeks. Yep, that's right. Carmelo Jones.
they asked him about that. They asked him how did he, cause, you know, I guess because, you know, Zach and Gasol played with five fouls, and, you know, through this whole, it's through the Clippers. They, Zach was in foul trouble. You saw him and Blake had two double technicals, you know, in the first and second game. They were making sure to fight on the ground. I mean, Zach is he's top in that middle. You're not coming in that middle. He let Blake know you wasn't coming in the middle.
Like I said earlier, I wish he would have been playing like that when the Knicks had him.
I
wish Zach Randolph would have been playing like this when he was on the Knicks.
Wow, and it took him to go to another team just to come out
And Nate Robinson, too, for that matter.
Yeah, Nate Robinson, too, for that matter, right?
That's like that Dan Tony's bad call, but yeah.
Zach is playing awesome ball down in Memphis. It's unbelievable. They got the best. That backcourt is unbelievable. I'm looking at it and see how he's
Let me ask you about the I guess because I'm kind of mad because, not mad, I just think that, you know, Seattle, they deserve an NBA franchise, and the Kings are going to stay in Sacramento. So I don't know. I was having a discussion. It's like, who is the next team that's going to be, you know, that they're gonna, the league is going to have their eye on to move out to Seattle? And I was thinking about maybe either the Milwaukee Bucks.
No,
he was saying Toronto Raptors. I was like, no, they already took a franchise out of Canada. They got to take another one out of Canada.
Right.
No, they,
you know what I'm saying?
Toronto's a team they should, but they want a Canadian president, so they won't.
Right.
They won't take the
And they move. They move Vancouver Grizzlies to Memphis.
To Memphis.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So, what franchise do you think would be considered to, you know, go to Seattle? Because they want to get a franchise there by 2015.
But the reason why I think about Milwaukee.
You know, the one
know,
I think
I just,
was prime, but they got an issue with it because they're trying to keep them that part of the South. But really, it's a New Orleans franchise. Maybe even Charlotte. Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do, you know, in terms of the getting a crowd there and the light. They got beautiful.
Right. He's worried about running around inviting people to his wedding and all this craziness instead of worrying about his franchise. But yeah, so I hear you with the Bobcats. I didn't even think of that one. The Bobcats. I was thinking the reason why I say Milwaukee is because they have a history of basketball in Milwaukee. But Herb Cole is gonna take the money and run.
He got history in Milwaukee. They were talking about this, about the history in Milwaukee. And, of course, I knew Kareem played down in Milwaukee.
Oscar Robinson, all that.
They got a deep history.
Yep.
To say that when that's I was talking about the history and listening to it, there's no way they'll take Milwaukee out of Milwaukee.
Listen, history
about,
is history.
How about Orlando?
No, that's wrong history.
History is history.
Mm-hmm.
Money talks. What Nino Brown say? Money talks. BS with the marathon.
Money was going to talk for the loop, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody
got to go there.
If money talks, then the Kings would have left. But the money did talk.
That's why the Kings didn't leave. Because the money talked. That's why the Kings didn't leave.
The city council, the ordinance, they kept that stand. Read that article. Reread that article. No. They were not letting the Kings go. Reread that article. I read that article.
I'm not trying to discount you or nothing, but
read the article.
Money
in 3 years they got
Sacramento in Sacramento. I don't care what you talk about. The Maloofs was ready to go. The Maloofs was ready to be out. Kevin Johnson, shout out to Kevin Johnson, mayor of Sacramento. He did what he had to do. They took it down to the last wire. I understand all of that. But the Board of Governors was like, you know what? You keep this franchise here. Seattle will get a team. They'll get a team.
The same way with Cleveland. I mean, not Cleveland. Cleveland left to go to, you know, Baltimore, but the city wasn't letting them take the franchise. Take the money, you can go. But the same thing with the Kings. You're not taking the Kings out of Sacramento.
I'm thinking that the football and the basketball is different. But go back to the football.
No.
What were you saying about the football now?
No, I was saying when the Cleveland left Cleveland, the
Browns.
Slaves, yes, perform the Ravens with the Ravens. When he put the Ravens, you know.
Right.
And they
right.
They say, you can leave, but we'll keep it a namesake of the Browns because of, I guess because of the tradition,
the history
there.
Yeah.
They wasn't taking that team out of Cleveland. That's what I mean by read. I don't know. That's by me reading the history of the thing
yeah,
when we were talking
about
it.
Let's
come
be
on,
clear
you're
about
not
something.
Taking that.
They took the team, and the settlement was, all right, we'll let you keep the name.
Right.
So they took the team,
and
the owners can move their team if they want to
the
move
Models,
their team.
Yeah, because that was one of the deals with the Models.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the thing
exactly.
with Jim Brown, when Jim Brown had his little statement in, because all his stuff is in Cleveland. He did not want his stuff to go to Baltimore. He's
right,
to
right, right. That's right.
Exactly.
That, that was their connection.
Exactly.
That was their connection, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a Ravens fan. I didn't play and get my career in Baltimore.
That's right. But at least they didn't do it like the Ursays and move them out in the middle of the night with the Mayflower trucks.
Yeah,
the Baltimore Colts. It's like, yeah, y'all go to sleep. Everything will be all right.
Because of what happened with the Colts, that's why they made Cleveland leave. They kept the name.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because of what happened with the Colts, that was critical for Baltimore.
They wasn't building them a stadium. Then they turned around and built Camden Yard. Then they turned around and built
exactly.
the joint for the Ravens. It's all about, if you're not building me a stadium, I can't stay here. So
the question lies,
why isn't there an NFL team in Los Angeles?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Why isn't there?
Why
is
it? It's getting ready to be one.
It's crazy. And you know what's really crazy about it is that they've been trying for the last 5 years or so to get a team, and they still don't have a team. That's insane.
There needs to be a team in Los Angeles. And I don't mean
absolutely.
A USFL team, and I don't mean the Arena League team. I don't mean none of that. I mean the NFL squad.
They need to get a squad, yeah.
They need to get a team. And how can you tell me that there's teams in, like, no disrespect to Jacksonville? Like, why is there an NFL team in Jacksonville and there's no NFL team in Los Angeles?
They can't even keep the stadium filled in Jacksonville. But Jacksonville, if they didn't, you know, they got this, recently got that owner, so he kept them there. But
yeah, Khan,
Yeah,
that's right, because he won that lifted the blackouts, because they were the only one that couldn't show their games on local TV.
And by the way, he's the only Muslim owner of team sports.
Yeah.
I think team sports, period. Definitely in the NFL, but I think it's team sports, period.
Okay.
Flat out Muslim, like an Arab guy.
Mm-hmm.
His mood is interesting in this climate. That's true. I read that franchise, they were talking about him, a writer about him and about his family and about his heritage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He talked.
Knicks up by 21, 6 minutes left.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like with Melo playing like he didn't play this in game one. And I feel if he got undistracted, about nonsense about these calls, they would have won game one, but they were too busy worrying about they not getting the
calls.
You
got to play this like we used to play intramurals, man. We used to go play intramurals. We'd be like, look, the refs ain't going to call. They ain't on our side. So just ignore all the calls.
Right.
Us versus them two. And the rule was, let's blow everybody out. That way we won't lose.
That way you don't have to worry about the refs.
Exactly.
The refs won't factor into it at all. You just blow them out. Do what you need to do.
Melo is balling today.
Exactly.
Balling right now. He's making a statement.
Yeah, Melo's getting that slow.
Yeah,
now, what we say, he went to the basket a few times. He's opening up his little jump.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little dunk. He's got a little splash.
He said when they talked to him after the what's name, he said he got to put game one, the referee, whatever. He got to worry about what he needs to do. And they said, if Melo don't step up in this game, Knicks can lose game two.
The thing we got to remember, guys, in the NBA playoffs, every game is a separate story in and of itself.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
That's what's happening now. It's a different story.
And now game one with the Warriors game was a separate story. Game two
separate
was a story.
Mark Jackson can do, and I think he's good at that because, I love his little attitude, his anecdotes. But he got to get the young boys to realize what we just said. Game one's over. That's done.
Yeah.
We know we could do what we could do to him because we was up 16.
Man, double overtime.
Like, they didn't beat us. We gave them that game.
That's right. That's how you got to look at it. You gave it
that's
away.
You got to look at it. Yep.
And
that's literally gave them that game.
I think they asked Popovich, what about Ginobili making those shots? Like, he missed the 2-3 throws. And he told last night when he was talking to the press conference, he said, I look at him as like I'm a, you know, I'm a cut him, and then now I just don't worry. I just let him do what he want to do. I don't care what he does.
He's talking about Ginobili, right?
Yeah, he's. I don't care what
he Ginobili's
does.
Earned that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He said, I don't care what Ginobili does.
Ginobili's earned
that. Yeah. He said that last night. He said, I don't care what Ginobili does.
Would it be shocking to you if the Spurs made this up to the finals?
I don't think they're going to make it, but
would it be shocking to you if the Spurs made it to the finals?
Yes, there would be. The only reason why I said it, because it's just like, Memphis is that team. Memphis remind me of that, I won't say the Detroit 04 team. I won't compare them to. They're the team that nobody expects going to win. You know what I'm saying? You don't expect
Memphis
to win.
Is a good team. If they would have kept Rudy Gay, they would have really been on.
Yeah.
Memphis is that team that nobody, you know, they're sleeping on.
Right. And you know what? They was breaking down that trade when they traded Rudy, the owner. We talked about the owner.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the owner. That was a well-thought-out plan when he traded Rudy Gay. Look at the Memphis now to compare when Gay was there.
They didn't lose nothing.
Not a step. They just kept the beat, just kept going. They had the same record, as the Clippers did. They had the same exact record.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting, and he just got this team playing well. One of the best. There's no way. Zach and Gasol. And Gasol got a nice left hand shot.
Gasol is nice.
If they could just get Conley, and if your boy Quincy Pondexter would have hit some free throws, you know.
I
think they'll play well tonight. I think they'll be all right tonight.
You know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You live and learn, man.
Yeah, they make adjustment well. They made adjustment in game two against against the Clippers. You saw what they did in game two against the Clippers. They came back and pounced Clippers in that game. Even with Zach with 5 fouls and Gasol with 5 fouls, it didn't make no sense what they did in that second game. But yeah. He's not worrying about them. And then Zach got that technical and it got thrown out the game in the seventh game and threw his headband. He could care less. Zach's like, I'm going to the next round. But what?
Yeah. So you say you see Memphis coming out the West?
I can see Memphis coming out.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because the thing about Memphis, they're not worried about KD. They're not worried about Kevin Durant. They can let him get his shot all he want to get it. They're not concerned. And the only thing about that, well, we're saying with that free throw and miss all three of them shots at the free throw. No way, you got to make your shot. You got to make. He could have tied that shot, that game up by shooting off
middle
shot. Mike
Conley's gonna have to handle that pressure on his shoulder.
I think Mike Conley's the key to the whole joint.
Because
if Mike Conley plays like he's supposed to play and thinks about what he's doing, the Grizzlies are supposed to be up 1-0.
Well, you guys,
like that.
What you had,
you know what I'm saying? They had a possession where they had stopped Oklahoma City. They got the ball, and instead of them, you know, milking some clock, Conley comes down and throws a shot up with like 21 seconds of the shot clock.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's
the stuff I'm talking about
right there,
Kia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He'll make the adjustment. I think he'll make the adjustment in this game.
You got
to
play smart
in
them scenarios, yo.
Yeah.
In order to win, the team quarterback has to be on his game. Point guard has got to play at a certain level to win. If point guard is a little suspect, then everything goes haywire.
He's
running the team. He's setting us up. He's getting you in a position to do what you need to do. He tends to be the leader, so he's also talking to. That's why Chicago is playing so well, because Nate is balling out of his mind. Once Nate goes back to the Nate that we know, which made him the third string point guard,
if he goes back
to that, the team will change dramatically.
Is Kurt Heinrich going to play?
No, he's not playing.
Okay.
I don't think he's playing. Heinrich, Luol Deng,
Derrick Rose.
A lot of guys, man. And you got Noah on that foot, so they give him a leg. Noah's playing. He's not worried about it. He'll play with the pain.
Yeah.
He can play with the pain.
Exactly.
He can deal with the pain.
He took his shot, and he's playing, you know?
That's why he's playing.
With that injury, you don't play, so he took a shot. That's why he's running around. Now, let me ask you this, though. how much pressure does this put on someone like Rose when the entire team is the way they are? They're just a mass unit, man. They all hurt, but they're still out there giving it all. How much pressure does that put on Rose to feel like I need to get out there and support this team too? And inside the locker room, is that making people look at him a little cross-eyed?
Go ahead, Kay. I'm going to let you go first, and I'm going to speak my
mind. I don't think so, because, you know, his teammates, only because his teammates respect him, and everybody on this thing about the Bulls trade Rose. No way the Bulls trade Rose. I don't think the Bulls are that fool to trade Rose, because they're having a great season. Even if they, even if they win the championship, Rose still is a part of the Chicago Bulls. Bulls will be like another new player next year. Bulls will never get rid of Rose.
Right.
Never. That would never happen.
If they're even thinking about, you know, even putting pressure on him, and the only reason why they're putting pressure on him because nothing's been definitive yet. Nothing said, well,
right.
I'm going to play or I'm not going to play. So
right.
It's still up in the air. So, you know, if it was like Marco Bellinelli, you know what I'm saying, or Taj Gibson or somebody like that, I'd be like, come on, yo, what you going to do? But this is the dude that's going to take you down the line 5-10 years from now.
Yep.
So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt on
this.
If he says that the muscle memory is not, well, let that rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he played hurt the year before, too. People
right.
don't realize
you know,
that. Yeah.
So, and that's his game. If his game is a contact game, he's going to go to the whole hard body karate all the time. So he needs to, you know, make sure that, you know, he is right. And I'm not mad at Derrick Rose. If it was somebody
else, I
understand what you're saying. If it was somebody else, if it was Quentin Richardson.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
And I'm with you. I'm not mad at him either, because I think you should come back when you're healthy.
Right.
And if he feels he's not healthy, then he shouldn't be out there, because that's how you get hurt.
Yep.
Only thing I'm saying at him was he should have said he wasn't playing. They still got him. After the All-Star, he said he's going to come back.
Right.
Now, once they got past the All-Star and they got the guys that they're going to put on active
that's not going to play.
Rose never took his name off that. They never took Rose off that.
But you know what,
Kia?
I blame the Bulls for that. Because players always say they're going to play, so they're going to always try to come out there. That's what players do. That's part of the gladiator.
But the Bulls said he was good to go.
They did.
Yeah, so
which is what caused this controversy, because the Bulls said he's ready to play.
The Bulls said he's ready,
and I'm not ready to play.
You know what it is? If you got cameras in your practice facility, you know what they see in the practice when they practice? Rose doing full court practice with the team.
Yeah, he's shooting out before the game and all that. Yeah,
exactly. And that's not helping. I think the Bulls did that as a shot at his brother for making the comment. So the Bulls came out and said, "Now he's ready."
Right.
Yeah, so that, I'm sitting there like, listen, and it rolls, you know, I guess people like, you know, whether, you know, because once they get to that close to the playoffs, you got to get that list together, who's not playing, they got to go
next. That's right, you got to submit your roster.
You got to get that list together, and their roster was like, their roster was rolled on the roster. So
Let me say this. If it was me, I would shut him down. I would do him like the Nationals did Steven Strasburg.
They should have been did it.
Alleviate all the mystery. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Get all the mystery out the situation. We're going to shut you down. Then you can cry and moan about how you was ready to play and how you want to come back and all this craziness later. Okay?
Exactly.
We're going to shut you down. Okay? Take it as far as we take it. And again, like we said, next year we come back with you 200% ready to go. We got a brand new point guard. We're ready to rock out, and now let's rock this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to alleviate all that, I'm the boss.
Exactly.
You're the employee. If I say you're not playing, you're not playing.
You're not playing.
And leave it at
that.
They want to leave that roster spot just for the possibility that he might walk through that door.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He won't leave open.
He might pull the Willis Reed on him. You know?
I was the one that sent that post earlier today when I was talking to my friend, and he's a sports dude, but he's not like us.
Right.
And so he asked a legitimate question. He said, you know, hypothetically, what if the Bulls win the championship? If you're the GM, do you trade Rose and make your team even better because the goal is to win a championship and you already won it?
No.
Or do you keep him? So
that's
I was like, let me post that and see what people say about it.
Right.
But I see it both ways, but I'm leaning toward what I've heard people say here tonight, even that you use him like the, someone said this, you use him like the number one pick.
Yeah,
you have a number one pick.
Him, like, he's the number one pick.
He's the number one pick.
I was like, that's an excellent point.
Rose would be the number one pick next year.
He was like, this guy is, because, and another reason you don't give him, he's a Chicago kid, and he's in the prime of his career. And
that's
it's
right.
Almost like, it's like trading a Magic or a Mike or an Isaiah. Like, it's kind of crazy in that prime.
And then why would you trade him when he's healthy?
Right.
You kept him when he was there.
But here's the flip to that now.
That's backwards.
Here's the flip to that. The flip is that you get a king's ransom for him.
Ah!
You get a king's ransom for him. You're not trading him for like one little.
What's out there that you're going to trade Derrick Rose for?
A healthy
Derrick Rose.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
What's out there?
It's at least two players in the pick. But keep in mind, now, you're making that decision as a GM having won the championship.
Right. But then I got my point guard coming back. That's like me winning the championship and still having the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
I love that analogy. That analogy actually made me fall to that side. I said, you know what? That is just that. That's it. We won the championship and we got
that's
the number one pick. Like,
you can't lose.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
And now I'm gonna play the devil's advocate to my devil's advocate. Now, if I was in the position of saying trade Derrick Rose, man, listen, somebody would get what's the right term I'm using? Flim-flammed. Because like you said, I need to get back value plus.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Top players and draft picks.
There's stuff going on in Detroit, the Nets. They just said something about Phil Jackson just turned down the Nets, said no, he would not. He's not interested in the Nets coaching job. But look at the incident going down where, you know, the Pistons owner and Phil Jackson's a good friend. So he's down there to help his good friend out find the coach. Do they fire Joe
Dumars? Bill Laimbeer wasn't available?
Then they don't want that.
It's some names. It was even with Nate McMillan was mentioned. I mean, some names being mentioned down there, and the fact that the Nets going to need a coach.
Yeah.
You know, you got Brian Shaw, you got Brian Scott, you got other coaches out there.
Yeah.
Who is qualified to get the Pistons back to where they need to be
at?
And so
the Knicks spanked them, by the way, guys. It's almost
and,
over.
Yeah.
And that's
to coach the Pistons.
There.
It's got to be somebody that's going to command respect, okay?
Yes.
You know, because you got Greg Monroe, you got a lot of young talent down there. You know what I mean?
Everybody,
so,
yes.
You know, somebody that's going to come. I, off the top of my head, I don't know. As far as Detroit,
Because it's so weird down there. And they're blaming, they were talking about, you know, Pistons fans were talking about, I guess, Joe Dumars in the draft when he passed over Melo.
He picked the world famous Darko Milicic.
Yes, he did. Sometimes, you know, I tell people, I said, sometimes you get a little too cute.
About all
sometimes you just get a little too cute. Like, pick the best player, dog. It's the NBA.
I wasn't
prepared.
When they said Darko Milicic, I wasn't prepared.
And he did say this because he had Prince, so that's why he felt they were the same person. But I'm like, take Melo, trade Prince.
If Dumars would have drafted Carmelo Anthony, like you said, their whole franchise would not be where it's at right now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so and Darko Milicic, oh man.
Knicks
won
105-79.
Back to the Derrick Rose scenario. Yeah, man. I mean, again, like I said, you know, keeping them would be, you know. Even for your, you know, for your bigger picture scenario, keeping him.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? He's young enough to be that dude for a few more years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again, I think it would be prudent to keep him.
As opposed to
getting him for, like you said, a king's ransom. Because really, who's going to give you what you want for Derrick Rose?
For him, anyway, right.
Right.
Right, that's a good point. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. Now, at first glimpse, when you see that, you go, that's ridiculous. But then as you talk about it, it's a legitimate argument from a
right,
GM perspective.
I was like,
think about it as a GM.
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
And it was worth a discussion. So I kind of told my buddy, I said, at first it was ridiculous, but nah, that's a good point. I said, I want my people to hit this. Let me see how they respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That's right. I mean, you know, especially in this day and time, man, you know, again, you know, you'd be surprised to see somebody stay with a team for 10 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what do you do with Nate? What do you do with do they suffice Nate with his playing and, you know, he get a better contract? You know, so he's playing behind, you know. Because Nate's been around a little bit, but Nick Celtics, who else he play with?
Somebody else in there. There's somebody else, Nate bounced around a little bit.
Didn't Nate play for Oklahoma City for a hot minute?
I don't know.
For a hot second.
I think he played for Oklahoma City, too, for a hot minute.
They were
like, literally
that.
A cup of coffee, and they were there for a second.
I mean, you would keep him as a plug off the bench or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can't see
his money, though.
Huh?
He just secured some money in the league. He's going to get another 5 more years in this league now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he's all the people looking at. Everybody's watching him. I think Chicago will probably, you know, keep. I don't know how long his deal is, but he'll stay. But if he leaves Chicago, somebody's going to pick Nate up now.
He's played on the Knicks, the Celtics, Oklahoma City, Golden State, and the Bulls.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. He's been around.
I didn't realize it. Yeah, I know he's been around. I didn't realize Golden State.
He's been in 7 years.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, he would be a guy that, you know, I would keep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have Luol Deng. I have Joakim Noah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta have toughness. You gotta have
play
with your heart.
I could do without Carlos Boozer.
I can find somebody that can replace Carlos Boozer.
Because in
that series with the Nets, early part of the Nets game, when Joakim was not playing, it was Boozer that was carrying them games. Because he was airing more in that Nets game. That Nets game, Joakim's foot was airing him big time. You saw him, if it's Brennan and Kenny was staying the paint on his foot.
You know why I don't mess with Carlos? You know why I don't mess with Carlos Boozer?
I know why. Yeah.
Why? I'm gonna let you say it. You know why I don't mess with Carlos Boozer? Because you want me to say it?
Yeah.
When Carlos Boozer was supposed to re-sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he told him he was gonna sign with Cleveland, and he turned around the next day and signed with Utah.
That's why
I ain't mess with Carlos Boozer no more. Carlos Boozer was nice. He was with Cleveland. He was like, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna sign with you." It didn't matter to me one way or the other whether he did or not, but how he did them. That was almost akin to the LeBron situation. But he told them he was gonna sign with them.
He had a gentleman's agreement with them.
Yes, he did. And he turned around and bombed and went to Utah.
They released him because he said he would.
Right.
They could have kept him at a different scenario, and they released him. They talked about it. He said, "Cool." They were trying to do one of them. When Minnesota tried that with what's the center, Joe? I forget his name, from Maryland. They tried that joint, and they got busted in the NBA for trying to do a deal when they didn't have a deal.
Right.
But they tried that, and they had a gentleman's agreement. And my man, as soon as he got free, went and took more money and bounced.
I mean, he's a good player. He's serviceable and all that. But if I can get something for Carlos Boozer, he's out of here. If I'm the GM of the Bulls,
he's movable.
Yeah, I can get something for Carlos Boozer.
Yeah.
You know,
he's movable, and you can get something for him.
Yep, I can get something for Carlos Boozer. I can look around the league, and I can get something nice on the comeback. I can maybe finagle a draft pick out of somebody for Carlos Boozer. Might not be a first rounder. But I might be able to finagle a draft pick or a youngster for Carlos Boozer. He's still serviceable.
Absolutely.
You know?
His contract's a little big.
His contract's heavy, but, you know, I'll find somebody to work that out.
Yeah, man, I didn't even get to put the number out tonight, man. We was going so hard. 646-200-3838 is the math to call, man. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. Shout out to my man
what
Rich holding down the situation. Shout out to Miss Lavina holding down the bell and all of that. Go ahead, Kia.
What's that Allen's Pens game? What's that score?
The who?
Allen's and Pens.
Oh, the Islanders and the Penguins? Hold on.
Yeah. What's that score?
By the way, yo, the hockey playoffs are off the chain.
It's 5-4. Islanders are 5-4. 2 minutes left in the game.
What?
Islanders 5, Penguins 4. 2 minutes left. Tell me, and I picked the Penguins. I mean, I picked the Islanders. I picked the Islanders to beat the Penguins.
Me too.
I sure
too.
Did. Look, after further review, number like 245, I picked the Islanders to beat the Penguins. And the reason why, because the Islanders got some youngsters, and they ain't ready to make that move to Brooklyn.
They're
going to be at the Barclays.
It's 2-1 series.
The series is 2-1 Pittsburgh.
Right. But they're not going
to,
I mean, I don't know.
And my Rangers lost.
Ottawa leads Montreal. Ottawa leads Montreal. Ottawa leads Montreal 2-1 with 5 minutes left. Chicago Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild, they start at 9:30, and Vancouver and San Jose start at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Vancouver was everybody's sexy pick to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
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 And they
look
at them.
Yeah. So I mean, they never fixed that situation with Roberto Luongo, did they? They never got that situation.
Mm-hmm.
They never took care of that. Because Corey Snyder is still playing goalie for them.
Yeah, you see the
we do hockey after it goes down over here, baby.
I'm loving this.
Yes, sir.
The Red Wings, what's the name for the Red Wings? Suspended for two games. He suspended for two games, but the Red Wings came back and tied that game up. Series up, they 2-2 now.
Yeah.
And they're 2-2. I know
that was
that
overtime.
Game
was that was overtime game.
Yeah, that was overtime game.
The hockey playoffs are the hockey playoffs are the most exciting.
If you're not
a hockey fan, it's cool. You're into that drama and you ain't got nothing to do till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and one of them good 4 or 5 overtime games, come on. Oh man, it's nothing like it, yo.
I think if people got hip to hockey, because hockey's not really on the national scene, the TV package is kind of whack. We've seen it in the playoffs, man. My hockey love has come back strong, man.
Yeah.
I watched three playoff games, 2 overtimes.
Yep.
They're not balling, but they fucking.
Shout out to Popeye Jones, you know, ex-NBA player. His son, Seth
son
Jones.
Is the player.
The number one draft pick in the NHL draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So slowly but surely is going down.
I found out when I saw that, and the same thing, when I saw that he was the number one draft, but going back to that Rangers loss and that power play, when he went to the net, not less than one time, there is up at the left mark that goal went in. I was like, and the Rangers lost in that overtime.
I think the Rangers, you know, the Rangers should have did a lot better than they did this season, man. That 48 game really took it out of everybody, you know what I mean? So it's a toss-up, but I'm still expecting strong things out there. But your man Ovechkin decided
man
to show up late in the season and decided to tear things up, so I'm feeling scared for the Rangers right now, yo. I'm feeling scared for them.
What is it?
Islanders just scored 6-4. Islanders, this game's about to be a wrap. So it's about to, that series is about to be 2-2, yo.
They go back to Pittsburgh. They play two in Pittsburgh,
two in New York. Goes back to Pittsburgh for game 5.
Go back to Pittsburgh, yeah.
Right.
They go back to Pittsburgh.
So, they're in a good situation. They 2-2?
Yeah, that was the perfect. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Rangers, Pittsburgh, and Black Hawk. 3 games winning overtime.
Them adding more winter classic games.
They're playing something.
They're supposed to be playing one at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I think that's good stuff.
I just read that. Yep, that's all. I knew it when you said
they're supposed to be playing one at Fenway Park. I mean, I don't want
to.
I'm not. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I just thought that it was supposed to be like a, you know, a unique event, New Year's Day, you know what I mean? And people really like it, you know what I mean?
Are you
satirizing it too much by, you know, having games? And you're going to have one at Michigan at the Big House.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are going to play somebody at the Big House.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have one at Dodger Stadium. They're going to have one at the Rangers and the Islanders are going to play at Yankee Stadium.
How do you think the ice cold at Dodger Stadium is going to be interesting?
It's going
to
be real interesting.
I don't know. That's the same thing if they do it with the LA Kings, because the LA Kings play in the Forum. Don't they play in the Forum?
They play in the Staples Center.
The Staples Center.
They can keep it cold indoors.
They can keep it cold.
What happens when they go out to that stadium?
Yeah, and that bright. And I don't think it's gonna be like 40 degrees in LA. I think it's gonna be like 80.
Exactly.
Well, it'll be January, so.
You know, I said when I first started watching hockey, I couldn't understand what, you know, with the intermission. I'm like, what? And you could come back and go back. And they still have the same intermission. I'm like,
yeah,
God,
I just couldn't understand offsides. Then I started watching it and started paying a little bit. Okay, now
I
know what offsides is. You know what I mean? And the blue line, and you know.
If you watch hockey, you actually pick up the rules really quick.
You do,
right?
You do. Because I used to get confused about the hat trick, and you know, now I know certain things. Yeah.
I didn't realize when you went to when a minor penalty was 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the team scores a goal within that 2 minutes, they get to come back on the ice.
Different
stuff about hockey, but hockey's a cool game. I like hockey.
It is.
It's better during the playoffs, though.
They play zones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They play zones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love hockey.
Do they call it zones?
Yeah,
they got a name because when the Devils won, they mastered kind of the defense thing they were doing.
Okay.
And everybody started doing it because when the Devils some years back, they were killing people with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And it wasn't something you always did in hockey, but they were just killing people with that.
And then the same thing with the fight. They don't break up the fight until you hit the ice. You can stand up and fight. Well, when you hit that ground,
that fight that Ottawa and Montreal had. Did you see PK Subban, the black guy, the defenseman for Montreal?
That's
he was. See, you always wanted to see a black dude play hockey and fight. He was giving it to that.
His brother
Malcolm Subban was the number one pick for the Boston Bruins last year.
Uh-huh.
He's a goalie, Malcolm Subban. That's PK Subban's brother. So I mean, you know, it's a few brothers that play. It's the Blackhawks got a black goalie.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think it's five guys that are black that play in the NHL.
That's more than five. It's way more than five.
Because
I can name five off the top of my head.
That's the starters. Those are five starters that zone that play.
Oh yeah, you got Jerome McGinley, right?
Yeah.
You got Jerome McGinley. You got PK Subban.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You got Wayne Simmonds from the Flyers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Flyers.
Ward.
Mm-hmm. Is that dude for the Islanders, Kyle Poco or whatever? Is he black?
Isn't he mixed?
He might be mixed.
Yeah.
Ray Emery for the Blackhawks.
He's black.
And the dude, Dustin Byfogle, I think he plays for the Maple Leafs.
Okay. Yeah, Toronto. Yeah. That's okay.
It's a few of them.
Yeah, it's five of them. Oh.
Yeah.
For
the last few years, they've had a few brothers in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like four or five brothers. And, you know, they have some brothers there doing their thing.
I watched that game on MSG when the Islanders and the Pens played a couple of weeks before they played in the playoffs. When that puck hit Crosby right in the mouth, and it broke his jaw.
Yeah, it broke his jaw.
And all that blood, it was so much blood coming out of his mouth. I was like, ooh.
Do you think the NHL treats their young stars differently than like the NBA or Major League Baseball treat their stars?
I think they do.
Or even football for that matter.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman came from the NBA, so he was supposed to know how to market it that way. But I think one of the problems hockey has is that the stars in hockey are foreign players.
Right.
And in
That's
this
right.
country, we don't
exactly.
respect the foreign player the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't. And when I say foreign, it's either from Europe or they're from Canada.
Right.
And it's tough to get American-born hockey players, so the public doesn't really latch on to them.
Exactly.
Because at one point, man, they have enough big names that there shouldn't be a problem.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's that, and again, you know, not tooting a horn for hockey or nothing like that, because they could, you know, do a good job of that by themselves. But yeah, man, again, you know, hockey, you know, it's not being pushed as much as, like you said, if you go to Canada or you go to Russia Finland, whatever. Hockey is what they do.
Is what they do.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we don't have that, you know. Hockey is hockey season. Okay, we with it, but off season, so what?
Yeah,
you know,
and part of the problem, it is just it's a northeastern sport.
Okay,
you know, so the American-born hockey players are all up in the northeast, going into the Midwest a little, you know, up that Minnesota area.
Right,
but it's a northeastern sport, and that's why it's not as open as much.
Mm-hmm.
But in other places, you're right. In Canada, that's their national sport.
That's all they do, right?
Yeah, they play hockey like we play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I say about the Rangers. You know where the Rangers are playing. When I'm coming through Penn Station on my way back to Jersey, whatever, you know the Rangers are playing. You know the Rangers see the Devils. Certain fans of Boston Bruins have a big, Buffalo Sabres have a big squad down there. Everybody, they see people love their hockey.
That's think about how much they love hockey in the New York area. We got three hockey teams in the metro area.
Right.
Three.
That's hockey. They love their
three,
hockey.
Son,
love
three,
hockey.
And none of them are that far from each other.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. They love their hockey. These people love hockey. They love their hockey. And you know what I watched Saturday? And I don't watch a lot of. I watched a soccer game. It was interesting. It was no.
Soccer?
It was no score until a third. It was like, I see why. It's like, oh my God. And then finally, as I watched one soccer left on the clock, this one known soccer player, he hit and it went up. They went berserk in his whole stadium. They went like,
yeah.
The only reason I like to watch soccer, and I don't watch it a lot is because it has
it
no commercials.
No commercials.
No commercials.
That's
why I was saying, why is this game so long?
Yeah, that's crazy. I've been to one hockey game in my life. I was 12 years old.
I
went to a Ranger versus a Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, okay.
And it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Who got the most banners? Is it the Red Wings that got the most banners, or is it the Bruins?
I think the Red Wings.
It may be Montreal, right? Doesn't Montreal?
It might be Montreal, Toronto.
Yeah, it might be Montreal. And the Red Wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be Montreal. You may be correct. I forgot about Montreal.
Let me ask you this. This is a different subject, but since we're talking about this kind of thing, but what is the deal with brothers in baseball, and what does baseball need to do to get more brothers playing baseball?
Well, if it was up to me, I would. Baseball would have a bigger presence in the hood. It's starting to get that presence, but it have a bigger presence in the hood. Because when we was little, all we did was play baseball. You had
baseball.
The basketball hoop, you had the football right there, but all we did was play baseball. That's what we did. And I don't understand why, you know. And again, it needs to have a bigger presence. But again, the easy answer to that is everybody's gravitating towards football and basketball. That's where the money's at.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the stars are were promoted much like the baseball had Barry Bonds, but they hated him.
Right. That's right.
So they didn't promote Barry Bonds.
Right.
So everybody hated Barry Bonds.
That's right.
And it's like you had Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr. We had a
lot
of brothers
that
were balling, and baseball didn't highlight them. Mm-hmm. In basketball and football, the stars, the brothers are highlighted.
Right.
I think the other problem with baseball is, and they're fixing it for the Latinos because they're putting money into it, but the other problem with baseball is that in basketball and football, you can go to the pros relatively quickly.
Right.
In baseball, you disappear in the minor leagues for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. They sign you to that. They sign you to that $100,000, $500,000, $1 million deal, and they, you know, you start off in the low A's and you work your way up. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Again, that might be a reason, you know what I'm saying? But, you know,
it's
baseball is my favorite sport. And I don't understand why more people aren't playing. You know, they don't play it. You know?
Do you think it's because the sport is too slow?
Huh?
No.
Do you think it's because the sport is too slow, too long?
Mm-mm.
Nah.
I don't think that. I don't think that that's it. I just think people just don't understand how the game flows.
Right.
I can sit and watch a well pitched 1-0 game, no problem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to somebody else, that would be like, why you want this is boring.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but we're fans. We're hanging on every pitch. You know what I mean? You're watching the runner at first base. You're seeing if the infield's playing in or if they're shifting.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching this type of stuff because you're into the game. Somebody else is like, oh, I wish they'd throw the ball already. So when you're looking at it, you're looking at it from a totally different aspect. You're looking at it from a fan point of view. You're looking at it from an analyst point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So somebody that's not really into baseball,
they just think
it's boring. Why am I here?
So how about this? Where is the love for baseball? Like, you know, in the inner city, it's basketball. The South is football. Where is the love for baseball?
And then, like you said, in the Dominican, and in Puerto Rico,
in
on the island.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
You know, a lot of colleges don't have a lot. I watched that LSU Tigers and South Carolina Gamecocks, that game.
Yeah.
LSU Tigers was number one in the country or whatever. I watched that game the other, and you really see the black person on South Carolina Gamecocks or LSU Tigers. I saw maybe two or three. I said, oh, yeah, that's a black player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the black players on the team. I'm like,
yeah.
You know what's happening on the college level, because the black players are being drafted and they're not going to college, but they're going to the minor league.
Yeah. They're all the ones you see in the A level and double A and all of that. You know what I mean?
That's where the black players are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. And they're not coming up.
And I think that, again, that, like you said, if there was more, you know, promotion of the game, and, you know, you have your Derek Jeters, you got your CC Sabathias, you got your Matt Kemps, you know what I mean?
And he's playing well.
You know,
I like Matt Kemps.
They're not being promoted. You know, Torrey Hunters and all of that, you know what I mean? Jimmy Rollins and things of that nature.
Yeah, exactly.
The guys are not, you know, you don't hear about them, and they're like, oh, you like baseball? Yeah, I love baseball.
Yeah. These Upton boys, these are brothers too, playing. Like, you know, they're not like some foreign cat. They're kids that you can relate to these guys.
I wonder, how much impact do you think the Uptons have down in Atlanta right now? You got B.J. Upton, you got Justin Upton, they're winning. You know what I mean? You got Jason Hayward down there. Their outfield is sick.
Yes, sir. They're the next young crop of brothers is coming because of that.
Yep, you got Adam Jones in Baltimore. I love to watch him play. He's like one of my favorite players, man, Adam Jones in Baltimore.
So then
you know?
He needs to be marketable for these young kids then, because, like I said, with Kemp.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
With Kemp, absolutely.
He's playing well.
But my beloved Dodgers.
Spend all that Magic Johnson money.
All that money.
I can't talk because I think that, you know, you got Adrian Gonzalez, you got Josh Beckett, you got Carl Crawford. I think that the Dodgers are setting themselves up for a win down the road. But Lord, they Clayton Kershaw. You know that the kid from Japan, that guy. Oh man, the Dodgers. But you know what? It's early. It's still early. I expect him to be there. Don Mattingly's going to do his numbers.
But you know what I'm thinking with the Dodgers? What they at now? They at 15. What they at? More than 15 losses, right?
What'd you say now?
The Dodgers with their loss. I'm looking at the loss count for the Dodgers. But they have
the Dodgers.
Major.
The Dodgers are 13-18. They lost five
in a row.
Right.
Five in a row.
I'm disgusted.
And then you look at a lot of them. What they was going those Sloan phase. For Detroit was blowing them blown saves late game. Tigers was blowing late game saves, and they got
They got Valverde back.
Yep, they re-signed him because they were blowing close games. They blew three straight close games before they would go get this guy. They had to stop the bleeding.
It's getting late real early for the Dodgers, and you know, it's Adrian Gonzalez and Crawford and all those guys, Kemp and all those guys, AJ Ellis, and and all those guys, they'll get it together. They'll get it together because it's expected of them.
But not at,
you know?
Not at 18, but in the next season, but you think this year, so last year was supposed to be the year.
Well, I mean,
now it's
last
this year,
they you know, the Red Sox was dumping. They really, what happened, the Red Sox dumped them on the Dodgers. They was like, oh, you want to take these contracts? Here you go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it was a situation where, you know, they jumped and now they got, the Dodgers got the power team, but they wasn't winning. So now you get to start 2013, you get to start fresh. You get to start fresh with all these dudes, and you get what you pay for. It's 13 to 18, you know what I mean? You know, it's a long season, you know, and But I mean, the Yankees, I'm surprised at them.
They're
playing okay baseball right now. A-Rod's getting ready to come back. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know? But who's your disappointment so far, and who's your surprise so far?
Cleveland. Cleveland is a disappointment. The White Sox are a disappointment. I'm like, they already had told them. Some of my folks.
What about Toronto?
Toronto is a disappointment. Oh my gosh, I need to hear Toronto. What did you say about Toronto? What did you say about Toronto earlier? What did you say about Toronto? Remember what you said about Toronto and Tampa Bay?
I said, I picked them. That's right. I picked them to win the division. That's right.
Say,
I picked them to win the division.
I drank the
Canadian beer. I fell for the okie doke.
Yeah,
I drank the Canadian beer. What is it, Labatt or something like that? I fell for the okie doke. Because Jose Reyes is out. Mark Burley's garbage. Josh Johnson is hurt. R.A. Dickey can't get the knuckleball over. What's going on?
Did he win only one game already?
Was
he like, winning something now?
Yeah. Go ahead and giggle. All right, who's your disappointment? Dodgers.
It's gotta be the Dodgers. We're looking for everything that's happening. How much they put into it right now.
My surprise right now is the Boston Red Sox.
Oh God,
I'm like, okay, Buchholz is pitching well. Lackey's coming from the dead. You know what I mean? The bats that they got are working for them. Napoli.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Those bats that they got, Middlebrooks is doing his numbers, but the bats that they got are working for them, and the pitching they're doing their numbers. So that's my surprise. The Red Sox are my surprise. My disappointment is the Angels.
Yeah.
I know Artie Moreno is mad.
At the bottom of the barrel.
You know, Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton is like,
man.
At the bottom of the barrel.
That's a good one.
I watch baseball, and again, like you said, you know, baseball, you know, should have a higher spot in the pecking order. Again, you know, we know football is that ish. Football is a 365. 24/7 a day thing.
Yeah.
Basketball is trying to get that way. They, you know, every 4 years they, you know, keep us with the off season with the Olympics and all that, keep us interested. But we got the summer league, you know what I mean? So that keeps us interested. So off season with basketball is popping. Baseball after the World Series is like, okay. You know, everybody goes about their separate ways and handle their business. You know what I'm saying? So the interest and the support and the hype for baseball, it kind of dissipates after the World Series, as opposed to football and basketball all year round. That's a grind.
Let me ask you this question: Did you think Pettit would have that be this much a difference? And then CeCe's blowing that game with that.
We got 3 minutes left to go on the show. Everybody says their piece before we get out of here. Key, I'm gonna let you lead it off. Keep it short because we got like 3 minutes to go.
Nothing. Just glad I got my little waist back.
No doubt. Welcome back to the situation.
Nothing else, but everybody have a great week. But no, I'm ready for football. I really am ready for football.
No doubt. No doubt. Joe, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Yes, basketball.
playoff basketball, good stuff. Playoff hockey, good stuff. Sports is a great time to be a sports fan, period. And I had a great moment. I get a great time here being on the phone with you guys. This is real talk.
No doubt, man. We appreciate you, man. We're here every Tuesday, man. That's how it goes down. 2 hours go by like that, man.
Yes, it does.
You know, we get into it, hard body karate. Next thing you know, it's 10 o'clock, and we got to wait another week. But it goes down, man. We're here, man. Shout out to, once again, to Rich holding it down, CEO of the situation. You know what I mean? Miss Lavina on the board and all of that. Shout out to everybody that's listening, man. We see you, too. I see you, Rachel, out there. You know what I mean? Check out the ladies tomorrow night. They do their thing. You know what it goes down. Every Tuesday night, we right here, 8 to 10, hard body karate, man. It goes down. Feel free to check me out during the week after further review. I do my little thing. Thanks again to, you know, Joel. Thanks again to Kia. It goes down. Check out the ladies tomorrow again, man. NBA playoffs is going down hard. NHL playoffs, if you're not interested in hockey, just peek it out. It'll be an overtime game on somewhere, because somebody's playing an overtime game somewhere in the NHL playoffs. We didn't get to talk about Floyd Mayweather and Guerrero. I don't know if you heard Manny Pacquiao is fighting Brandon Rios November 24th in China. It's Brandon Rios. He's fighting Brandon Rios.
The guy that
just fought on HBO like 2 weeks ago. Alvarado. He fought Mikey Alvarado on HBO. So that's who Pacquiao's fighting. We get ready to get out of here. Everybody have a good week. Watch the NBA playoffs. Go Knicks. This is the man. Right. I'm out, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view, after further review, you know what to do.